Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this news conference. To discuss the release today of the Populism 2015 candidate scorecard, we have Robert Borisov, the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, and Selena Lake of Lake Research Partners. Borisov, as many of you know, has decades of experience in progressive politics and presidential campaigns. And Selena Lake is a leading Democratic pollster who has expertly measured the pulse of the electorate and has advised numerous candidates on how to craft winning messages for their campaigns. We will hear first from Bob Borisov, who will then turn the conversation over to Selena Lake. Then we will take your questions. Go ahead, Bob Borisov.
Thank you, Isaiah, and welcome all. Today, the Campaign for America's Future, as Isaiah said, is releasing its candidate scorecard. The scorecard grades Democratic candidates on a core populist agenda. For those of you at your computers, it's available at candidatescorecard.net, candidatescorecard.net, http://candidatescorecard.net. Not surprisingly, Bernie Sanders gains the highest scores of the field, with Mark O'Malley second and Hillary Clinton third. Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb lag far behind, largely because their campaigns have not really begun to fill out a complete platform. The Sanders lead is built on his clear support for major structural reforms, on breaking up the big banks, Medicare for all, enhancing Social Security benefits, taking on climate change, curbing big money in politics, cutting military spending, opposing costly interventions abroad, a willingness to raise taxes on the rich to make major investments in rebuilding America. Clinton scored well on many issues, particularly on election reform, immigration, and criminal justice reform. Her recent opposition to the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, bolstered her score. On housing and nutrition programs, her score will rise as she elaborates that portion of her platform. Now, that the Sanders leads the others, obviously, is to be expected. But what is most striking, and we've witnessed in the last couple days, is the extent to which all of the major candidates have endorsed populist economic and political reforms. All three of the leading candidates have plans to raise taxes on the rich, to crack down on corporate tax havens and loopholes, to limit capital gains tax breaks for investors. All support raising the minimum wage, paid family and a paid vacation leave, empowering workers to organize and bargain collectively. All call for curbing the role of big money in politics. All favor action on climate change, a larger public investment in infrastructure and R&D. The contrast with the Republican field obviously is stark and clear. These positions reflect the reality that the country faces, and they also reflect a populist movement and attitude that is really driving the debate. Certainly the surge of Sanders in the polls reflects that, but so does the decision of mainstream politicians, Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley, to embrace bolder populist economic and political reforms. All of these candidates now accept the reality that the economy is working only for the few, that it isn't an accident or an act of nature, that it's because the rules have been rigged, and that the deck is stacked against most Americans, and that that has to change. Let me say a word about the scorecard. It measures candidates against the Populism 2015 platform that was released earlier this year before the campaign started by the Campaign for America's Future, National People's Action, the Alliance for a Just Society, Working America, and the Working Families Party. Together, these organizations represent over 2 million members, nearly 1,000 organizers with chapters in 20 states. The scorecard provides a unique kind of user-friendly resource. We award points only for concrete and current policy proposals that address the nation's most urgent problems. In each area, we describe the criteria and provide links to each candidate's appropriate speech or platform item, providing a handy resource for reporters, bloggers, activists, and interested citizens. We have sought and we have received feedback from each of the leading candidates' campaigns. The scorecard will be distributed by email and in a national online advertising effort ahead of the first presidential debate. It will be updated regularly thereafter. Activists will be pressing candidates on their positions in the lead-up to the early primaries, and scores will change as the candidates continue to elaborate their platform and hopefully to continue to move our way. We are pleased at the kind of increasing populist tenor of the leading presidential candidates, and that is reflected in the scorecard. And we're convinced that this is an accurate and successful way to present themselves to the American people, because it reflects the attitudes of the American people. And we wanted to bring in Celinda Lake, who's one of America's leading opinion researchers and a core strategist for Democratic candidates at all levels, to talk really about where the public is on these questions and why the candidates are moving this way. Celinda?
Thank you, Bob, and thank you so much for Campaign for America's Future leadership on these issues. I think the scorecard is just a remarkable document, and that it will have power. I hope it gets extended to races up and down the ticket. There are three basic points that I would make in the research, from the polling research, and that is, first of all, the populist agenda that you've outlined is an incredibly strong agenda. And it's a strong agenda that persuades swing voters, particularly independent voters, who right now are even more populist than Democrats or Republicans, and more blue-collar than Democrats or Republicans. And it mobilizes the base. And obviously in 2016, that's a real challenge for progressive candidates, to make sure that our vote comes out to vote. In a number of states as well, components of the progressive agenda, the populist agenda, are very popular as initiatives as well. And I think in 2016 and in 2018, you'll see people take pieces of this agenda and put it on as direct ballot initiatives because of its popularity. There is also a synergy with components of this initiative. So the sum is even stronger than the parts. And this is a very, very strong frame. And whether you're looking at the research that was done by AFL-CIO and the labor unions, the research that was done by Center for Community Change, the research that was done by the Roosevelt Institute, or the research that's been put out by Campaign for America's Future, we see this populist theme of families over the wealthy special interests, that our economy is out of balance, that we need to change the rules so that we can build strong families and strong communities. That populist, aspirational, proactive agenda is very, very strong with voters. 6 in 10 voters believe are bothered by inequality. That includes half of Republicans and two-thirds of independents. We find in any message that we have out there, if we precede it with the problem of money in politics, it increases the power of the message, whether we're talking about economics or electing more diverse elected officials or broader electoral reform. And we find that juxtaposing working Americans and families with CEOs and wealthy corporations, their lobbyists, their special interest PACs, is a very, very powerful way to frame up the choices here for the progressive side. Let me take a second to just review some of the issues as well, because not only is this a strong theme, but it's a strong agenda. First of all, increasing the minimum wage, we see that supported by 55 to 70% of the voters, depending on the phase-in and depending on the level. Paid sick days, 60 to 70% of voters favor it, including a solid majority of Republicans. Job creation and jobs that pay better wages and have benefits, very, very strong. And, in fact, the wages and benefits and the pay of jobs has now become the top economic issue as we are having a slow kind of limping back recovery. The women in work agenda, equal pay, off the charts in terms of its popularity, and very popular with men as well as women. Men are as supportive of equal pay because they realize that this is a work and family issue. The tax fairness issue. Even as Americans on the eve of filing their taxes, when they're most resentful of the amount of taxes they have to pay, people were more bothered by the fact that the wealthy and big corporations did not pay their fair share than they were about how much they paid. And people, 45% of Americans think low-income people pay too high in taxes. A solid majority of voters believe the middle class's taxes are too high, and two-thirds of voters support increasing the taxes on the wealthy and big corporations and CEOs who they feel are not paying their fair share, including a solid majority of Republicans. People are extremely committed to good schools, and they are committed to good public schools in for every child in every zip code. And they feel this is an anchor of strong communities, an anchor of strong families, an anchor of our future, and an anchor of our economy. People support overwhelmingly financial reform. This isn't an issue that we see elites talking about very much, but it is wildly popular with the voters. And whether you're talking about cracking down on predatory lending, cracking down on credit card companies, cracking down on banks, 60 to 75% of voters support these reforms. And in almost all cases, Republicans solidly in favor of these reforms, and Democrats and independents, two-thirds plus in favor of the reforms. On trade policy, we find that people overwhelmingly believe that our trade policy should be changed, and two-thirds of Democrats, independents, and Republicans say we should end tax credits for shipping jobs overseas. And finally, when we turn to Social Security and Medicare, people think prescription drug prices are too high. They believe overwhelmingly that Medicare and Social Security are promises that were made, and these are guarantees that should be kept, and they oppose privatizing these systems or raising the retirement age. So all of the specific policies strongly, strongly favored by the voters. But again, what I want to emphasize here is the first point, Bob, that you made, that this isn't just a bunch of individually popular policies. This is a platform. And any candidate, whether they're running for governor or Senate or president, whether they're running in a primary or in a general election, will find this to be a very strong frame and a very strong platform for their race. So let me turn it back to you, and I'm glad to answer questions later.
Terrific. Thank you.
And our first question comes from Michael with the U.S. Labor Agent 4.
Hi. Can you hear me, everyone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. As our name suggests, our focus is foreign policy, and I'm wondering whether you tested any questions concerning foreign policy or military spending.
Yes, one of the planks was on what we call real security, and it measured candidates on their commitment to reducing military spending and their skepticism about policing the world and excessive interventions we've made that have cost us so much. This was an area where obviously Sanders excelled, and it's an area where, interestingly, Hillary has clearly chosen to score poorly. So if you look at the places where Hillary has separated herself in recent weeks from the Obama administration, on domestic policy, it's almost entirely been in a more progressive or populist fashion, exemplified by the decision to oppose the TPP. But on foreign policy, exemplified by her harsh reaction while endorsing the Iran deal but calling for greater U.S. presence in the region, more arms aid, and announcing that it could not lead to different relations to Iran, to her more recent call for enforcing a flight free zone over Syria in the face of the Russians, she has consistently and quite clearly consciously chosen to take a more interventionist policy. She's also said nothing about lowering the military budget.
Thank you.
So this cost her in her grades.
Thanks very much.
I'm showing no further questions in the queue at this time.
Do you have any last words, Bob or Celinda?
Just one thing. We see this not simply as a kind of analysis for people, but also as a call to action. And the activists of the organizations that endorse the platform will be taking it into town hall meetings and candidate forums, particularly in the run-up to the early primaries and thereafter, and pushing candidates to do better on different issues. So this is the beginning. We've only begun this debate. We haven't ended it. We will update these scores regularly, and it will be a continuing resource for reporters and for activists.
All right. Thank you all for joining this call.